Again, this is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 149 in a series of 260 programs dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. And following the same format as used with the great Frank Fitzsimmons, we merely call the series Where Fitz Left Off. Today, memories of a real character who learned to play the piano at age 4 and called Hendersonville her second home because she got her start here and because her sister lives here. Back on May 30th, I just happened to catch a rerun of a TV special on the life of Minnie Pearl. Now, any and everybody who lived anywhere in the range of WSM and the Grand Ole Opry back in the late 1930s, and in fact about anywhere in the country after that, was familiar with the howdy and the always smiling voice of Minnie Pearl. In fact, this young lady claims not to remember it, but the rest of the class certainly remembers her doing a pretty good imitation of Minnie Pearl. In fact, she claims not to remember it, but our class graduated the year that Minnie made the big breakthrough and began appearing on the network portion of the Grand Ole Opry, sponsored by Prince Albert Tobacco. Minnie Pearl was only a member of the Grand Ole Opry Hall of Fame late in life, but she was always quick to point out that she actually got her start. Her start working up her act with the help of Sally Stokes of Hendersonville, working in the Scotland Hotel back in the 30s. She was born Sarah Ophelia Colley, whose daddy ran a lumber mill in Centerville, Tennessee. Little Sarah Ophelia learned to play a piano at the age of 4 and had dreamed of going to school at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. But when the Depression hit, the most the family could afford was school at nearby Ward Belmont Junior College. And there was virtually no support for a show business career in Centerville, so she finally took a job with the Wayne Sewell Company of Augusta, Georgia. And she would move from town to town, recruit local talent, supply the costumes, rehearse them, and then stage a play in that town. It was a living, and many always remembered Sally Stokes as helping her develop some of the music and the skits. When Minnie Pearl was at Carolyn's bookshop to autograph her book back in the early 80s, she was interviewed by Al Hope.
Did you ever think that many years ago that you'd be back doing appearances like this right across the street?
No, I certainly didn't, because I didn't have any idea of Minnie Pearl in my mind when I was staying over at that hotel in 1934. That's when it was. I was 21 years old. Can you imagine? Every time I come to Hendersonville to see Mary, my sister, I drive by that hotel. And I thank the Lord in all reverence. I'm not being flippant. I'm being serious, because it was through that company that sent me here to Hendersonville to train, to go out and coach these plays, that I found Minnie Pearl in northern Alabama in 1936. You weren't anywhere around.
That's true.
On that TV salute to Minnie Pearl I watched on May 30th on TNN, it was dubbed before Sarah Thelia Colley Cannon, Minnie Pearl, died. It featured about everybody who was anybody in the country field, all with testimonials to Minnie. Roy Clark, Little Jimmy Dickens, Charlie Pride, Boxcar Willie, Grandpa Jones, Pee Wee King, and, of course, the great Roy Acuff. Roy and Minnie shared the honor for a number of years of being the senior performers on the Opry, and they loved it. They loved working with each other on stage. When Sarah Ophelia Colley came up with the idea of Minnie Pearl, she was afraid that if she used the name Centerville, her hometown, her friends there would think she was making fun of them, so she remembered a railroad crossing just outside of town called Grinder's Switch, and forever and after, Minnie Pearl hailed from Grinder's Switch. Her outfit came from a rummage store, and the price tag on the hat occurred by accident, but drew such response she never took it off. She was officially made a member of the Grand Ole Opry in 1940. She married Henry Cannon, a World War II Air Force pilot. That wedding was on February 23rd, 1947. And she waited almost 30 years before she was finally inducted in the Country Music Association's Hall of Fame. Minnie Pearl's sister, Mary Kershaw, used to live on Canoga Street, but having lived into the ripe upper 80s years of age is still in the Hendersonville area, and in the month of June lived in a rest home. When Minnie had her autograph party at Carolyn's back in the early 80s, it was bedlam. The crowds were enormous. But she always found time also for Larry Justice at the House of Bibles and Books. In fact, if she was visiting Sister Mary and didn't have time to get by the House of Bibles and Books, she'd always call Larry and visit with him on the phone. I think the greatest tribute that can be paid to any person is for it to be said about them. He never got above his raisin. Minnie Pearl never did. Right up to her death in the autumn of 1995, another memory of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, with a job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.